Dads, you got 7 days to start stretching. All right? You got 7 days to start stretching. We want to see your moves. Seriously, make it out to Dad Fest next week. It's going to be an awesome time. Put it on your calendars. Bring all the dads that you possibly can. It's going to be a great time. Hey, today, we're going to have a good time as well. My name is George, and I'm one of the pastors here at Brave Church. I'm excited to be here. Are any of you excited to be here as well? Hey, I don't know about you, but man, I was being moved over here during worship. Can you guys give it up for our band, our production team that make all that happen? Such a beautiful worship set today. We're going to have a good time. You guys like having fun in church? Good. That's what I was hoping for. Today we're going to be kind of closing out this series. It's the fourth installment of the series. You asked for it, and Pastor Ricky, each and every week, has been bringing a great word, answering a very, some popular questions that people ask, even some of which you guys have submitted. And today, I'm going to be closing out this series with a really awesome talk. I'm excited about it. Today, we're going to be talking about something that has the potential to change your life. Today, I'm going to be talking about something that has the potential to change your life more than your salary, more than where you went to school, more than who you're dating or who your spouse is, what kind of family you come from, what kind of car you drive, how many square feet your house is, how much is in your 401k, how many social media followers you have, what college you chose or are going to choose, how talented you are, what your body fat percentage is. Today, we're going to be answering an age-old question. And whether you've been following Jesus for 70 years or Jesus isn't anywhere near your radar, this is a question today that so many people ask. And while many of us think that we know the answer to this question, the truth is not many of us live like we know the answer to this question that we're asking today. Every day, we fill our time and our schedule with things to do, am I right? It seems like every time, as the years go on, there's more to do every single day. There's work, there's school, exercise, meetings, hangouts, meals, watching TV, Netflix binge, scrolling through social media for 4 hours before you get out of bed, taking kids to sports, preparing for important presentations, relaxing. There's a million things, am I right? But today, what we're talking about is something that not everyone puts on their calendar. It's something that not everyone puts on their daily to-do list. And the irony about that is most of us in this room, whether we believe in Jesus or God or not, we would agree that what we're talking about today is of the utmost importance. But few people put it in a place of priority in their lives. Few people put it in their calendar, on their schedule, when what we're talking about today has the potential to change the destination of your entire life. Today we're answering the question, can we hear God speak? Can we actually hear God speak? And like so many other questions, this is a loaded question. Just these five words, there's so much that comes underneath it. Because when people ask this question, they're really asking a few different questions. Am I right? You know, it's not just about what we see here, but people, when they ask this question, there are some underlying questions, and due to time, I'm not going to be able to answer all of the underlying questions, but I'm going to pick out three of like what I think are the biggest questions that follow this question right here. Number one, does God still speak? It's 2017. Does he still speak? And does he speak to people like us in this room? Is it only for the religious? Is it only for the priests and the pastors? Or is it for people just like us in this room? The second question, how do I detect his voice? Okay, so if he does speak, how do I hear his voice? I mean, what am I supposed to be waiting for? Morgan Freeman's voice over like this heavenly intercom, or, you know, Mufasa from Lion King, remember, you know? What are we waiting for? How do we detect his voice? What does it even sound like? The third question, how do I distinguish his voice? Meaning, okay, I feel like God's telling me something, but how do I know it's not just me? How do I know it's not just what my family wants me to do or my spouse wants me to do? How do I know it's just not that bad burrito I ate the other night? How do I know this is really God speaking to me? Those are the three questions we're going to be answering today, and I just want to put my chips out on the table. This is undoubtedly the most ambitious sermon I've ever preached in my entire life. Okay? Because normally, when I walk up into this stage, Pastor Ricky as well, normally when I walk up here, I try and answer one question. And I try and make one point, and here's why. Because most of us, most of you, you're going to walk out these doors, you're going to go to lunch, carry on with your day, and by the time night falls, you're not going to remember most of what I said. And that makes me feel real good because I spent hours on this during the week. And that's not a knock on you, it's just a human thing. It's hard to really retain knowledge that you've only heard just once. So if you could, for a moment, let me challenge you as one of the pastors here at Brave Church. You're going to get out of this what you put into it. Okay, I'm going to put it in another term for those spiritual people out there. You reap what you sow. And here's what I mean when I say that. Don't just walk in here, do the bare minimum, sing under your breath, you idly listen to the message, and then you expect your life to start changing. You got to put some work in. That would be like me. You know, I know that there are some men here, you guys look like you're in shape, and you look like you lift, work out, whatever you do. I'm about to have my honeymoon. I want to look sexy, so I'm going to go to you in a couple weeks. Let me know how to get there. But that would be like me going to you, hey, I want to start getting healthy and fit. I want to start getting, you know, buff and all those things. And then I show up at the, you're like, okay, come work out with me. Come to the gym. And I show up to the gym and I got my Under Armour. I'm wearing the right clothes. I got my Nikes on. I'm looking good. I got my earbuds in, listening to that music that pumps me up. I walk in and just stretch for like an hour and then I walk out. All right, cool. Thanks. Thanks for that. Any of you would say, dude, get your booty on the treadmill. Go get sweaty. Go do some lifting. And that's the same challenge I have for each of you today. Put some work in today. And here's what I mean by that. Open your Bible with me right now. Open a journal. If you don't bring a Bible or a journal with you to church, bring one. Start bringing one. And here's why. Because we are not just up here vomiting information. We're hoping that this information might possibly change your life. Because it's not coming from us. I'm not giving you what I think. I'm coming from Scripture here. So we want you guys to dive in with us. Open your Bible, open a journal, bring some highlighters, pens. If you're a 90s kid, gel pens work totally fine. Whatever it is, Sharpies, take some notes today. Amen? Amen? Dive in with us because I believe God has a mighty word for us today. You're going to get out what you put in. I've been so excited about this message. Because this message is for everyone. It's for the young and the younger. You're welcome. And here's how I'm saying it today. There isn't a single person hearing this message who couldn't have their life radically transformed by what? Hearing God. I'm going to read that again, and I want you guys to come alive on those last two yellow words. That's why they're highlighted, because I want you guys to shout with me. There isn't a single person here hearing this message who couldn't have their life radically transformed by what? By hearing God. That's exactly right. Can we hear God speak? Does he speak? How can I detect his voice? How can I distinguish his voice? If you guys love those, real sticky statements, here's the sticky statement for today. Here's the why behind today. Here's why this message is so important. Because the voice you believe determines the future you experience. So if you're taking notes, jot that one down. Give me some credit, too, if you take it to Twitter or Facebook. I'm just kidding. The voice you believe determines the future you experience. This isn't just a Christianity thing, it's just a life thing. Some of us in this room, if we can look back, the reason our life looks the way it does right now is because someone told us something long, long ago, and we believed them. That's not just a me thing, or it's an everyone thing. The voice that we believe determines the future that we experience. So that's why today's message is so important. And for those of you, because I know you're taking notes, the title to today's message is, can you hear me now? You guys remember those commercials? Can you hear me now? So that guy walking around with, you know, and just trying to get the signal where they could hear him and he could hear them. Can you hear me now? You can write that up at the top of your notes today. Before we fully dive in, let's pray that God might reveal his word to us. Amen. Let's close our eyes. God, we thank you so much for this time that we get to come here and dive into your word. God, we pray that today what you speak to us would not just be information, but it would be applied information, which equals life transformation. God, help us to retain this knowledge. Help us to hear what you have to say today. God, we are here today expecting to encounter you, experience you, and hear you. God, so use me. God, I'm an open mouthpiece. God, I pray that you would give me the words of life for your people today. Give us hearts to receive the word that you have for Brave Church today. In Jesus' holy and mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, so some of you may not know this, but for the past few years, I've actually had the privilege of being a roommate to someone actually here at Brave Church. Some of you know who I'm talking about. For the past few years, I've been living with Pastor Ricky. I've been mooching off him and his family. No, I'm just kidding. That's not how it happened. So just a little bit of a backstory. A few years ago, my family moved away back to Chicago, and I was in ministry, but I was in part-time ministry, and I did not have enough money to get by on my own. And I was in a pretty sticky situation because I didn't want to move away to Chicago because I knew that God had planted me here in Tampa for this exact season of my life. And I knew I didn't want to leave, but I didn't know what to do. I couldn't afford a place. And while I was praying, little did I know that God is about to use Pastor Ricky and Carissa and his family because he offered me to live with him. And they let me have the whole upstairs at the house that they used to have. And they let me come in and they treated me like family. And it's been a wonderful experience. Truthfully, what Pastor Ricky and Carissa did for me, it's one of the greatest displays of love that I've ever personally been given because they opened their home to me. And it's not like we were strangers, but we certainly weren't as close then as we are now. And man, you guys can give it up for Pastor Ricky and Carissa and that awesome family one more time. I think that's him in the back. Seriously. So I move in with them and, I try and be a good house guest. Have you ever been a house guest to someone? You know, when you're a house guest to someone, you don't want to overstay your welcome. You're trying to find that line, that tension. Okay, should I be here? Should I not be here? All that stuff. So I try and be a good guest. And, he hates when I say this because he's like, dude, you're family, man. You're my brother. Don't think about it like that. But I try and give their family some space, okay? I try and let their family do what their family wants to do. I kind of go hang out in my room, listen to music, watch TV, anything, take naps. Any nap people out there, man, I love me a good nap. Love me a good nap. So here's the thing is, over the past few years with living with them, you just get used to kind of closing that door, locking the door because they have kids and I don't want the kids to run in if I'm changing or something like that, obviously. So, the door is always locked and it's so funny because I've learned over the years who's knocking at my door just by the way the knock sounds. Because Pastor Ricky and Carissa, they have three beautiful children and a few years ago when Lillian was younger, man, she would come banging on my door and her knock sounded a lot like this. George! George! And she would just, man, she would not stop. Seriously, I would test it. I would not say a thing and see how long she would keep going. Man, she has stamina, okay? The girl's got pipes. She would keep going and going and going. And I remember one Christmas when Frozen was real popular, they bought her a Frozen karaoke machine and she was trying to stick the microphone under the door to get me to sing with her. And then, I would be looking at the door, and all of a sudden, I see her fingers come under the door frame. You guys know what I'm talking about? All you moms, when you're trying to use the restroom, and your kids are, messing with you under the door. Lillian would do that to me, and I always knew it was her just by her knock. But then, Pastor Ricky, when he's trying to, hang out or talk, he comes to my door, and he has a very unique type of knock. You see, Pastor Ricky, when he knocks on my door, it sounds a lot more like this. That's all it is, And I'm just you can barely hear it. I got my music up, the TV on. And all of a sudden, especially when I first moved in with him, he didn't want to, disrupt what I was doing. And he would try and start talking to me through the door. And I'm like, man, I can't hear a word you're saying. So I would have to do the same thing every time he knocked on my door. And he started talking like this. And I'm like, dude, hold on, one second. And I would mute my TV. Seriously, the same thing every single time. He knocks on my door a lot. We have to talk a lot about church and life, all that stuff. And I would mute my TV, I would go and lock the door, open the door, and I would invite him into my room. And you see, I did that because I value Pastor Ricky. I value that relationship. Can you imagine, men, if you tried to, have your wives talk to you through a door every time, like you talk to them? No, because you value them, because you love them, you open the door for them. You have actual eye contact and have a real conversation, right? That's how just relationships work. So I would invite him into my room because I valued him and I wanted to hear exactly what he had to say, not that mumbled voice through the door. And I wonder today if it's true that God is knocking on your door. And God's knocking at the door of your life. He's knocking at the door of your heart. And he's just hoping that you might open the door. He's hoping that you might just get up, mute the TV, mute the noise, go and unlock the door and let him into your heart and let him into your life. Look at what Scripture says in Revelation 3:20. It says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you," what? "Hear my voice. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." It's a promise. It's a guarantee. If you open the door, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how broken you may be or you may think you are, he will come in if you open the door. "I will come in and we will share a meal together as" what? "As friends." Isn't that beautiful? So we know just from this scripture that God does want to speak to you. That's the answer to the first question. Does God speak? Of course he speaks. Maybe I'm the first to tell you this. Maybe you've never heard it, or maybe today you just need the reminder. But God's looking for a personal relationship with you. He's looking for a one-on-one intimate relationship with each of you. God wants to hear from you, but God wants you to hear from him as well. Healthy relationships aren't one-way streets, am I right? You know, and a lot of times we go to God and it's, "God, I need this. God, I want that. God, I want the lottery. Can you give me the magic numbers?" You know, it's like we keep going and going and going like he's some genie. And God's like, "Don't you want to hear what I have to say? I mean, I created you after all." It's a two-way street. And God wants this intimate personal relationship with you. And he wants you to hear him so much that you actually learn what his voice is. Sounds like. Check out John chapter 10, 3 through 5. It says this right here. Is it up there? Oh, there we go. Awesome. "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them." I love that picture, that God is ahead of us, preparing the way for us, leading us out. And some of you, you need hope right now in your life. I want you to know God is ahead of you. He's already making a way through what you're going through right now. "When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because" what? "They know his voice." And then it goes on to say, "But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Have you ever called someone, or you had somebody call you, and the person you thought was going to be on the other line isn't who it was? It kind of messes you up, right? You're like, "I was expecting to hear somebody else." I didn't tell her I was going to do this, but a couple weeks ago, Chris, my fiance, tried to prank me a little with Sarah Jers over there, and she called me, I can't remember, and she had Sarah answer the phone trying to pretend to be Chris. And I'm like, I knew it immediately, right? You know it immediately because you can tell when you have a relationship with somebody, you know exactly what their voice sounds like. Am I right? That's exactly right. You know what their voice sounds like. And I love what Jesus is saying in this scripture. He doesn't want you to just hear his voice. He wants you to become so accustomed to hearing his voice that you can pick it out from a crowd of strangers. So I hope by now you're getting the hint to the answer to our first question. The first question was, does God still speak? Of course he does. Of course God still speaks. And God still speaks because God still wants a relationship with you. Amen? You see, we as humanity, we had a big problem. We were separated from God by this thing called sin. Sin came into the world and separated us from God. We could not, mankind could not have intimate personal relationship with God because of this thing called sin. And that broke God's heart. So God did something about it. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Why? So that you and I could have a personal relationship with him again. That's something worth celebrating here, Brave Church. Thank you. God wants intimate relationship with each and every one of us. So much so that he sent his son, Jesus. And there's a simple truth about relationships that we could all agree on, no matter what religion you come from, background you come from. There's no relation without communication. There's no relation without communication. And too many people are trying to have a relationship with God, but they never actually take time to communicate with God. Just like here on this earth, if you want to strengthen a relationship, what do you got to do? You got to work on how you talk to each other, right? When marriages are kind of going awry a little, the first place to start is communication. It's talking to each other. And the same is true with God. If we want to have relation with him, we got to communicate with him. I love how Dallas Willard said it. He wrote this book called Hearing God. This is what he said. If God doesn't speak today, then the greatest disservice we could ever do to people is to tell them that they could have a personal relationship with God. God still speaks today, and he wants to speak to you because he wants a personal relationship with you. And nothing, nothing, nothing will shape your life more than the ability to hear that voice. Amen? The voice that you believe determines the future you experience. Not only does God speak, Brave, but he wants to speak to you exactly where you are right now. And I don't know what's going on in your life. God wants to speak to you. And then this flows right into the second question. Okay, God speaks, and God speaks to people like us. Of course he does. But how do I detect his voice? What do I got to do to hear his voice? How do I detect the voice of God? You see, when you hear something, when you want to hear something, what do? You turn down all the other noise. Am I right? That's just kind of how it works. I'm not going to name the name of the show because I don't want people getting mad. Okay, you're a pastor and you watch that show. But there's a late night TV show, okay? And they play this game called, I think it's called the Whisper Game. Have you guys seen the Whisper Game? And they put headphones over someone and they plug it into really loud music. And on the other end, there's someone else whispering something and they have to try and make out what they're trying to say. Have you guys seen this game? It's hysterical. Because they never get it right. Rarely do they get it right. And they actually normally end up saying some pretty crazy things. Because it's impossible to hear someone when you have all this noise filling your ears. And I think today, what we can learn from that very simple game is that there are too many believers trying to hear God, and all they have in their ear is a bunch of noise. And God's just trying to tell you, will you just shut off the noise and listen in for what I have to say to you. Too many people are trying to read God's lips. You don't have to read God's lips. You can hear his voice. Just turn off the noise. So how do we detect his voice? We turn off the noise. And there are many different kinds of noise. There's external noise. You guys know what that is. That's friends and family and media and music and movies. It seems like there's noise everywhere, right? Like there's always just ambient noise in this life. Always social media has become a voice, and media like news and all those things. Those are external voices. And then we have internal voices. Those are the voices inside of us. Maybe you have an internal voice that's screaming, and the name of that voice is shame. Maybe you're dealing with guilt. Maybe regret. Maybe you feel like you've fallen short and that you don't even deserve to have this relationship with God. You don't even deserve the things that God wants for you. Those are the internal types of voices that God wants us to shut down. And then we have this noise that, man, it is like a plague and epidemic busyness. You guys know what I'm talking about. You know, back in the day when you used to ask somebody, how's your day going? What'd they used to say? Oh, good, good. Things are great. Now when you ask somebody how their life is, what do they say? Oh, just busy. Just so busy. And I wonder if the enemy of God doesn't love when we're busy. I think that the enemy loves when we're too busy to turn off the noise and detect God's voice. He tries to fill our lives with so many things and work and kids and they play this sport and they do that thing and I got to go do this thing and it's just one thing after another and we never take time to shut off that noise. And busyness, it's an epidemic. And if you want to detect God's voice, you have to find a way. You have to find a way to turn off the noise. Look at how Jesus did it. Matthew 14, 23. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. He sends everyone away. He sends away all the noise, all the external noise, all the busyness of healing people and preaching this sermon and going up on that mountain and crossing that lake. He sends them away. He goes up on the hills by himself to pray. Night fell when he was there alone. If you want to turn off the noise, it starts by looking at what Jesus did. And here's how I'm going to say it. Inner calm is the inner calm to God. That is good. Thank you. Inner calm. I work really hard on this, guys. Thank you for helping me. Inner calm is the inner calm to God. If you're wondering how to detect God's voice today, it starts with calming your spirit a little, your life a little, withdrawing, stepping away. Look at Habakkuk 2. It says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. I will wait. Everyone say, wait. To see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. It's withdrawing and it's waiting. Withdrawing and waiting. If you want to detect God's voice, withdraw and wait. Turn off the noise in your life. And what's so awesome about this message today is that I love being passionate in preaching. You guys know that I love being loud, but I love being practical too. So I'm going to give you three very practical tips that you can use if you want to detect God's voice. The first tip I have for you is set an appointment. Set an appointment. You know, married couples out there, you don't just say, you know, hey, I'll see you when I see you to your spouse, right? No, you set date nights. Or if you need to go to the doctor, you set an appointment. Hey, I'll just show up and hopefully if you have an opening, you know, you can just see me. No, you set appointments. And the same is true with God. If you want to detect his voice, have you set an appointment with him? Do you have a very specific time and place where you can meet with your creator? Everyone's different. Some people are morning, you know, those early bird people. You can wake up at 4:30 and be awesome. I am not that person. When I wake up at 4:30, I am not a Christian, okay? It's really bad. That's just not me. Some of you people, you can wake up early and that's the time that you set that appointment with God. God, I'm going to meet you here out back in my lanai. I'm going to meet you here downstairs in my favorite chair. And it's just setting a time and a place where you can meet with him. The second tip I have for you, if you want to detect God's voice, being very practical, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. This one, I love saying it like this. God comes to a prepared environment. God comes to a prepared environment. Have any of you ever been to like a Christian youth camp or any like retreat or conference or anything like that? Why does it seem God always shows up in those moments? Because it's a prepared environment. There's no phones, there's no light. It's like you just go in, especially like youth retreats. God just seems to do real big things. I've been a part of so many youth retreats over the years. And God always shows up. And it's because no phones are allowed. There's no parents screaming at them, getting their homework done. There's no friends and peer pressure. There's nothing but them and God. God shows up to prepared environments. And here's what that means for you, very, very practically. If you want to prepare your heart, if you want to detect God's voice, read your word. Prepare your heart. Open your word and begin to read it. Listen to worship music. Get your spirit in the right place. Begin to pray. Prepare your heart. The third thing is listen and respond. Here's how I put it today. God reveals more as you respond more. If you want God to reveal more, you have to respond more. You can find that out in Mark 4. It was part of our 45-day devotion. I came across it knowing I was going to preach on hearing God, and it just jumped out at me, and it was such a beautiful scripture, and it's exactly what I'm just saying now. If you want God's voice to be clearest, you got to clear time for him. If you want God to reveal more, you got to respond more to what he's already telling you, what he's already told you to do. Three ways, three very easy tips if you want to hear God's voice. The very last question we're answering today, how do I distinguish his voice? How do I know that was God speaking to me? Should I wait for that voice from the heavens? You shall not pass. Is that what God's going to scream over my life? How does God speak, and how will I be able to distinguish if that's even him at all? I have six questions. I told you today we were going to be very, very practical. Six questions you should ask if you want to discern if what you're feeling is from God is actually from God. Is it God's voice? The first question you should always ask, is it in line with God's word? You feel like God's telling you to do something. Maybe he's telling you to kind of pick up and move, or he's telling you to leave that job and go for another job. He's telling you to make a big step of faith. He's telling you, I don't know what he might be telling each and every one of you, but the first question you should ask to discern if that really is God's voice, is it in line with his word? God's will is found in God's word. His will is found in his word. Always, always, always compare what you think God is telling you or someone else might be telling you with the word of God, because God never contradicts himself. The second question you should ask, does it make you more like Jesus? Does it make you more loving and kind and gentle? Does it help you to have more self-control? Does it make you more like Jesus? If so, it could very well be God might be speaking to you. The third question you should ask, does my church family confirm it? Do God's people confirm it? All over Scripture, it tells us that we should be seeking godly, wise counsel. We're not meant to do this life alone. And it's okay to go and get advice, but my condition to that is make sure you're going to the right people. That's why I put my church family, does God's people, other people that actually follow Jesus, not just say they're Christian because it's on their Facebook, but people that actually follow Jesus, do they confirm what I think God might be saying? The fourth question you should ask, is it consistent to how God shaped me? Here's what that means. What if one day I wake up and I'm just like, you know what? God has told me, John Miseroy, that I'm going to be a lead electric guitar player. Here's the problem with that. I suck at guitar. It is not consistent to how God shaped me. Oh, I'm supposed to be the next worship leader, man. I don't know if you knew that. God's been telling me that. And then Andrews listens to me sing and he's like, I don't think that was from God, man. I think that was from the enemy, because that's bad. Is it consistent to how God shaped you? The fifth question, is it convicting rather than condemning? God does not condemn, he convicts. God does not condemn you and shame you and point his finger at you saying, stop, do that. That is not how God works. He convicts us. He convicts us in our spirits. And if it's convicting, not condemning, and if it answers those other four questions, the final question, do I sense God's peace about it? Do I sense God's peace about it? When we're following God's will, no matter what may be happening, there's a peace in it. And here's how I can say that with such faith, because I know so many of you, or us in this room, we go through things that are not very peaceful. Am I right? There's so many things happening in this life, bad things, good things, crazy things. How can we sense God's peace? How can I say that with such faith? Well, I just got to let you know that the reason I'm standing here today
literally, is because I heard God's voice one day. And it wasn't Morgan Freeman. It wasn't Gandalf. It was a small whisper and nudge in my heart that I was supposed to leave the stability of my prior ministry job to go help plant this church right here with Pastor Ricky.
That's how God used me. That's how God spoke to me, rather. And I sensed a peace about it. And let me tell you right now, I don't want to divulge too much information, but for the first few months, I made this much money. And this was my full-time job. You think that was a peace-filled time? You think that was fun? I know that I'm about to get married, and I have zero income. But you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy is when you know God's told you something, there's a peace in it, and a peace that surpasses all understanding. It does not make human sense. So many people out of love, you know, those kind of parental figures, hey, what are you going to do about this? How are you going to make money? What's going to happen here? And I just knew God is going to take care of it because God told me to do this. Do not confuse peace with ease, though. Very often, what God's telling you to do is not simple or easy. It's not. But you will have a peace because he gives peace. If you want to distinguish, was that really God? Answer those six questions. And if those six if it passes that test right there, it could very well be God has spoken something to you. The voice that we believe determines the future we experience. This morning, This morning, I want to challenge each of you to listen and respond to God's voice. Put God back on your calendar, friends. Put him back in your daily life because he wants to tell you something. He wants to speak to you. And when God speaks, lives and eternities are changed. So if you've been taking part in our 45-day reading challenge, if you've been doing that, thank you so much for doing that with us. Keep going. Keep going. Set a time and a place where you're going to be a part of that 45-day reading challenge. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, a few weeks ago we set out kind of a challenge for our church to read through Scripture together as a church community for 45 days. And if you want to kind of get back into the routine or you want to see where we're at, go to our website, wearebrave.church. Just click on reading plan. Reading plan, wearebrave.church. And you can just find the day we're on and the scripture that we're supposed to be reading. If you've fallen off the 45-day challenge, just get back up. Keep going. Keep reading. Keep worshiping. God has something he wants to tell you through this challenge. God has something for our church through this challenge. I just hope that we might turn off the noise, take off the headphones, and actually listen in to what he has for our church. Amen. Get back on that 45-day challenge if you've fallen off. Keep trying. Don't give up. Nothing has the potential to change your life. Nothing has the potential to change your life more than hearing God's voice. Can you imagine with me, Brave? Imagine with me what our schools, what our neighborhoods, what our workplaces, what our city, what our world would look like if God's people would begin to actually hear God's voice. Think about how many people who go hungry might not go hungry. Think about human slavery. Think about how many less people there might be enslaved today. Think about how many widows and orphans might be taken care of. Think about how many people might find hope and love. Think about how many people would be working in their very God-given purpose if we would just take a moment, turn off the noise, and listen in to what he has to tell us. I wonder how our world would be shaped if we would let God shape ours. The voice that you believe, Brave, determines the future you experience. Listen for the voice of God. Let's pray.
God, thank you so much that you are an active, engaged God. Thank you that you do still speak. For that wasn't just for the Bible days. You still talk here in 2017. God, thank you so much that even though we're broken people, we can still hear you as your children. And we know that you are our Father in heaven and you have things that you want to tell us. God, so this week, help us to take this information and knowledge and apply it, God. We're going to set time for you this week. We're going to set appointments. We're going to turn down the noise and we're going to listen in. We're going to prepare our hearts for what you have for us, our families, and for this church. Thank you, God, that you are God Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And thank you that when Jesus ascended back into heaven after his great works here on earth, he didn't leave us here alone to die on our own. He sent the Spirit to come and live and dwell in us. God, help us to hear that still small voice. Help us to feel that impression when you're trying to impress something in our hearts. Help us to be able to hear your voice out of your word. Help us to be able to hear your voice from good, godly counsel. And above all else, help us to hear what you have to say through your Son, Jesus. God, thank you so much. I pray that you would speak to all these people this week. In Jesus' holy and mighty name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Hey, couple things. Next week, if you want to be baptized, if God is moving in you and God's been speaking that to you, it's been an impression in your heart, stop fighting the voice of God. Go to the Brave Tent. Let them know you want to be baptized. If not, we'll see you guys back here next week for Dad Fest. We love you guys. Have a great week.